Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we praise you. And we welcome your presence right now. We have enjoyed your presence already through praise and worship and communion and offering, talking to one another before the church service began. We're the gathering together here today of the body of Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, as declared in your word in Revelation chapter 1, that we're also kings and priests unto our God. Whereas Peter put it in 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood. And Father, you're showing us how to be that priesthood. You're showing us how to be a royal priesthood, how to be a kingly priesthood, Lord. And there's things, Lord, that you're establishing within our hearts and within our lives. And there's things that you're going to be doing, Lord, more so than before. I believe an acceleration, even here at Christian Service Center. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for what we have gone through, what I have gone through, what we've all gone through, Lord, this past year. Some of it was very, very tough, and even still very tough. But you're tougher still. Some of it's very humbling. But we know that if we come under your mighty hand at the right time, you will lift us up. We have the promise of your word, Lord God, and your promise is always true. And we grab hold of the promise of your word, Lord, because it says that in Jesus it's yes. And you even put an exclamation on it and say, so be it. Amen. And you're teaching us, Lord God, what your word has to say and appropriating those things for our lives and not to settle for anything less than what your word says. So I thank you this morning as you help me communicate, Father, called to be saints, called to be saints, to show us what it really means, Lord, to be a manifest saint of God in this day and age until you come for us, Jesus. And so we welcome what your word has to say and let it do its transforming work with inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could just put a scripture up for me, it's Romans 1:7, and that's what I want everybody to hear first is Romans 1:7. It's also in 1 Corinthians, and I like what it says. And we're going to go off a topic here of the word saints, and you're going to see in the coming weeks why I'm going to be sharing on the word saints. Specifically the word saint, and it's the full impact of this word. And it goes on here to say, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, and this is how he addresses them. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the same term here, called to be saints. And if you notice, there's a parenthesis or around this in your Bibles, it's probably italicized the words to be. I think at times when people are translating the Bible and you just read that, if you're translating it, it just directly says, a direct translation, it says, the beloved of God called saints. And sometimes that's hard for people to say. To realize that you're a saint, to realize that you're a holy one, to even call yourself holy. Matter of fact, this word saint is the Greek word hagios, which is the very first, it's the same name that is attributed to the Holy Spirit. The word holy, that word saint is that Greek word holy when it says Holy Spirit. And God is telling us, you are saints. Now, how would you like to say it this way? If we translate it the same way as God translating the rest of the Word of God, or how the translators put Holy Spirit, beloved of God, called holy. And you might be thinking, yeah, right. I remember this past week. See, and I believe also that the translators called holy, called saints, and also called to be. I believe both of them are implied there. I believe that the Word of God sees us as holy because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have been made holy, we have been redeemed, we have been made clean by His blood. But there's also the progressive holiness. There's the progressive work of sanctification, or Are there not areas in your life that still are not separated unto God? And that's where the Word of God and the work of God begins within our life to separate us from those things unto God in every area. So I call myself a saint, and you should call yourself a saint. It should be a strong belief that I'm a saint of God. I'm holy. Ooh, I mean, is it, you know, for some people, you may have a hard time saying that. I'm holy. Right? But you see, when faith says I'm holy, there's a spiritual dynamic that begins taking place with inside your life, that everything that is unholy will be dealt with, and you'll move. It's almost a personal prophecy you're saying over yourself, because the Word of God is true, and so your life will seek to fulfill that truth. You'll find yourself being separated, or things that are not of God within your life, you'll have them revealed to you, and like that is not holy like God is holy. Can any of you say anything like that about an error in your life? That's definitely not God. And so he just doesn't want you to look at it and say, that's not God. But he wants it transferred to, now this is more like him. This is what he says that I'm supposed to be embracing. So we can be separated from the one and embrace the truth that's in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this word holy. We're going to look at this word holy also in connection with the last day saints. We're going to look at this, and we're going to spend some time looking at the origination of this word. We're going to see how it's referred to the Holy Spirit and the first two or three times that it's mentioned in Scriptures, and the progressiveness of how it's mentioned in Scripture to the spiritual relation to it, relationship to it to our lives. We're going to look at the very last mention of it also. The very last mention of it is in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to look at what I believe to be why the church is no longer mentioned after the third chapter of the book of Revelation, where only the word saint is referred to. And from that point on, we're just referred to as saints. Because in Revelation chapter 20, which is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it says saints. So, we want to look at some of these things. You're going to see the application of these things, because I really believe that God is doing something in this day and age, and I believe that we got a taste of it when we had the Holy Spirit prayer line last Monday. Because I saw a wonderful dynamic in people's lives that they were stepping out by faith, either to be prayed for or to be used of God in prayer or to be praying over somebody, where I heard from people's mouths prophecy. I heard words of wisdom and words of knowledge coming forth. I heard a person getting prayer. We were up and down this aisle here. And after the person got prayer, they started basically prophesying. They're just declaring all these things about the Lord. It was just absolutely beautiful, because we're called to be saints. God wants to use every one of us in ministry. And this is another emphasis of this teaching I want, is for you to understand that you have a place of God in ministry. Not just a seat in this location here on a Sunday morning, but to be used of God every day. You have a place and position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we got a taste, I believe, of what God is wanting to do. We haven't had a Holy Ghost prayer line in quite a while. And I remember last Sunday morning, I come down from my office, and I walked in, and I said, right before I took a shower, I said, honey, we're going to have a Holy Ghost prayer line to bring in the year. She goes, we don't have any announcements or anything. I said, don't worry about it. I'll get up and announce it. I said, we got to do what the Lord wants us to do. And it was a beautiful time of ministry. And it was a taste, just a taste of what God is wanting to do more and more. Because a lot of times we don't think that we can pray over somebody. A lot of times, who am I to minister to somebody? Well, if you call yourself a saint, then you have the capacity, because you have the Holy One who dwells within you. And he knows all things. And it's getting to the place of knowing him and yielding to him and to be used of him. Amen? And so if you just think of yourself as a sinner saved by grace, and you're just always labeling yourself as a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, what is the focus? Sinners, or sinning. Instead of, I'm a saint who sometimes sins. The focus isn't anymore a sinner, because the Word of God says, I've been made a new creation in Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint redeemed by the blood of Jesus, called to be a child of God and walk with my God. Amen? And you too. This is what we have to realize. And so many times, let me just say this. Have you heard of that passage, Old Testament passage, that scripture that says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things? Who can know it? That's the old man. Read through the Word of God when these things appear. He's talking about us in a pre-redeemed condition, because it goes and talks about through Ezekiel and through Jeremiah about a new covenant that's going to be given, where the old stony heart is going to be taken out and you're going to be given a heart of flesh, or that new creation. But if we sit there and always say, my heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? And you're always focused on the negative, or always focused on the sin, always focused on the down part, instead of realizing who you are in Christ Jesus and taking the Word of God, renewing that mind and becoming the child of God that He's meant for you to be. Amen? And God wants to just, you know, eradicate this downer Christianity. How many of you know how to be a downer in things? Somebody's flying high, but you know, brother, you better settle down there. You can't stay on that high forever. But I serve the Most High, and it doesn't sound like he's always who he is, all right? Okay, now, you may say, where are you going? I said, right now, I don't know. There are some things that came to me. How many of you have ever been used in what I would refer to as a prophetic utterance? In other words, you believe that God gave you something to say to somebody else. And at times, we know that God does that. I heard it this past Monday in people's lives as they were praying for people. And they were speaking, and it was being witnessed. As one person said, all the things that they were facing, they went through the line. It seems like every two people had every issue that they were facing in their life. I mean, they said something, the next two said something, the next two said something, and they got all these issues spoken to as they went through the prayer line, everyone. See, we don't even realize at times that we are being used of God and speaking on His behalf. And that's how the way I would like it to be, or the way it should be. It should become very natural to be used of the Lord. And I know that God is doing something, because He's wanting every one of us as a Church of Jesus Christ, especially this local congregation, to arise to the place that He has for us. And it's not going to get done just on Sunday morning Christianity. I know that there's people here that are hungering for more. And more opportunities of learning God's Word are going to be opening up this year. I've got to follow the Lord on which one He wants to do next. And there's going to be, I won't be able to attend that. It's at night, or that's during the day and I work. We are going to make available as much as we can for the opportunity for anyone to be taught what they need to know. And that's why I love so much the internet that we have. We're going to get what they call a Vimeo channel, maybe YouTube, I'm not sure yet. But Vimeo, there won't be any commercials. YouTube, you get commercials. I don't like some of those commercials on YouTube. How about you? You know, we had this one man that was watching us in England. He said that our service was like their evening service. And a commercial would kick in, right? And there isn't any censorship for a lot of the commercials there. And he says, there you are teaching, Mark, and there's full frontal nudity coming on. He goes, I couldn't watch that. So I showed him how to put on an add-on to block the ads. And he's like, wow, I didn't even know something like that was available, that you can actually get an add-on put on your internet browser to block all the ads, okay? And so he was like, oh, that really made all the difference in the world, because he said, I couldn't allow myself, my wife, and my children to watch, not even knowing what type of commercial was going to come up. And so we want to make sure that if you can't get here at a certain time to learn something, it's going to be online. But I want people to be able to grow as much as they can grow. Now, there are Bible schools now that are teaching people to become missionaries, digital missionaries. Digital missionaries. Because the world is opened up now on the internet. There are so many people from these countries that are closed to human beings, but they have internet access. And these people are being taught and trained how to traffic their teaching to a specific area of the world. And God is God. If you want to minister, the opportunities are endless for us to minister. But the key is, are you grounded in the basic doctrines of Jesus Christ? Are you grounded in the Word of God so that you don't get off here and get off there and try to make the Scripture say something that it doesn't say and end up becoming on there when they write in these people are wonked. You know, you got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to know certain teachings and certain doctrines that I want to make sure that I teach them that they're established within you, as the Word of God has to say, so that we're no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind. Wind also is referred to in Scripture as spirit. Every wind of doctrine. In other words, somebody saying this and somebody saying that. If you're grounded in what the Word of God has to say, and there's a voice traveling on the wind, have we not heard that expression? There's a sound traveling on the wind? That's what Paul is speaking about. He's speaking about somebody saying something that isn't lining up with the full counsel of God's Word. And it says, when you know the Word of God and you hear another sound or another teaching come in, nope, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, 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 and this. You are grounded in it, so you're able to like say no to it. That we're not taken by every wind of doctrine. And it talks about, that's from Ephesians 4, I think, you know, 13, 14 in there, where it talks about where they lie in wait to deceive. And there are people out there like that. I looked up another topic this morning before coming in, and I typed in the search engine. I typed in, and like I told you last week, or I told you sometime recently, maybe it was in Thursday class, I look also at the internet name, not just the big title that comes up there, but where you're going. And it was amazing to have the topic that I typed up, Watchtower Society, LDS, Latter-day Saints, Mormonism. See, you may get that section up there that grabs your attention. Oh, wonderful teaching about Elijah and Elisha. And it's in big, bold letters. You know, spiritual significance of Elijah and Elisha. LDS. Watchtower. You have to have an understanding of certain backgrounds of who people are and not read certain stuff to get them in your spirit, only to have it taken out later on. You got to know what you're reading. You got to know the people there. You go and read their tenets of faith. You read about them. I always go to a ministry first, and I read all about that ministry and the history of that ministry and the person teaching before I'll ever read anything that they say. Some people say, hey, they'll send me internet links, you know, YouTube links. Pastor Mark, check this out. I was like, before I check that out, I check the person out. You have to do that nowadays. There's deceivers on the internet. There's great things out there, but there's also deceptive things out there. And you've got to know the Word of God to be able to discern the difference. Amen? And so I'm wanting us to get established. Those of you that we have some young people, we have some people that have just come into the Lord and they haven't been taught the basic truths of God's Word, I want to get them discipled and get that Word of God so planted within their spirit that no matter how the world's rocking, they remain solid. And that's how every one of you should be. No matter what's taking place around us, you're rock solid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's going to be so important. And I want to meet with some of these young people. I want to know where they're at. And I want to know what the Lord is speaking to their heart about. And even some of you, God's speaking to your heart about things. Amen? Okay. Just because of your age doesn't mean that you can't be used of God. I believe that we're coming into that time that Jesus is looking for those who will say yes to Him. That you're going to be willing to do what the Lord wants you to do regardless of the price that needs to be paid in order to secure what the Lord wants to show you. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, talking about this, the last day saint here, or called to be saints, or called saints. in regard to thinking like that, when you read Isaiah chapter 60, beginning with verse 1, arise, shine. In order to arise, you have to usually be in a seated position or in an unmoving position or a place that's seated. Arise, shine. Why? Your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Question. Is the same glory that was upon Jesus, is that same glory upon your life? In Jesus' priestly prayer in John chapter 17, if you'll go to John chapter 17, please, and put up verse, I think it's 22. See, this is his prayer to the Father, and in verse 20, he says, I just don't pray for these, in other words, just his disciples, or the present company of people that were following him. He's also praying for those that will believe on him through their word, and we are those that it speaks of in John chapter 17, verse 20. We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the result of the testimony or the gospel that has continued through these almost 2,000 years, actually 2,000 years since Jesus' coming, but not since his death. We have believed that truth, and we're here seated today. So this prayer that begins in verse 20 is for us also. But look what he makes a statement. He's praying to the Father, and the glory. Actually, can you put 21 and 22 on there, please? Can you put the two together so we get a complete thought here? Okay, now this is part of Jesus' prayer for us, for those that would believe on him. You're believers in Jesus, so this prayer is for you. That they, all those who now believe in Jesus, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Jesus is saying the same union that I have walked with you, not just as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man on this planet. As I walked in union with you, and remember the passage like in John 5, John 6, and John 8, where Jesus, he makes statements like, I speak those things that I hear the Father say. I do those things that the Father does. He's talking about walking one with God. Walking one with God. Saying that the same way that I walked one with you here, not just as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, patterned for them how a human being filled with the Spirit, who believes on me, filled with the Spirit, can walk. This is pretty powerful what he's saying here. That they can walk in the same union that I walked with you in. That's pretty powerful. Because when you see a word like, that they also may be one in us, what is the purpose? My walk with God should have a result. Your walk with God should have a result. When you're getting closer to God, your life should be becoming more and more distinctly different from other people around you. True? It goes on to say that your oneness with God, your closeness with God, is going to result in this. That the world may believe. That your life is going to have an influence on people so that they can come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus is praying. Now listen to this part here. And the glory which you gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. Now, this Greek word here for glory is doxa. And Jesus is saying, the same glory, the same honor, the same respect, the same recognition that you have given me, I bestow that upon them. This is mind-blowing stuff. That the same glory that Jesus walked this earth on with is Jesus says, I now release that upon them. When was the last time that you thanked God for his glory upon your life? We're always saying, Lord, Lord, send your glory. Show your glory here, Lord. Well, Jesus said it's already on you. Wow. Why don't we start recognizing what the Word of God has to say, begin acknowledging that the glory of God's already upon us. Okay? Because the next verse, verse 23, says this. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Paul says that we are complete in him. That everything that Jesus Christ has secured has brought us to a place of completeness in Jesus Christ. So that is a truth statement. I am complete in him. There is no defect that I have in my spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is areas of my soul and my mind that need to be renewed. How about you? That it says, that's why we have Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It talks about verse 1, a spiritual dedication that we give ourselves to God. In verse 2 of Romans 12, it says that we are to be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. How many of you would agree with me this week you had some thoughts that were not renewed? Okay? So there are areas of your life that need to be what? Transformed. Totally changed. It's like you have this way of looking at something. God says, no, you got to forget about that. That's of the old. I want you to look at it this way. I've got for you to look at it this way, not that. But at times we're so Adamic-minded that we try to bring the fallen thinking into the new creation life. And God wants to just eradicate so much of the way that we think and do things. But he says here, oh, can you go back to that one? 23. Once again, he said it in verse 21, and he says it again here, that the world may know that you have sent me. Ah, but he adds something. He adds something here. And what does he add? And hast loved them. Who? That the world may know God's love. The world may know God's love. Are you known for ministering God's love? Or are you known for being a condemner? A lot of times we're condemners. I'm not saying that the Word of God's not going to convict and condemn. But do they sense that it's coming from love? Do they sense? I mean, Jesus had some tough things to say, didn't he? But how did it come forth? How did it come forth? From the love of God. Okay? Sometimes we have very difficult things. How many of you have had some children? You've had to say some tough things to your children. True? Did you love them? Yes. And so a lot of times things can be very firm and very direct, but yet they come from the heart of love. Amen? Amen. Has loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you know today, do you know that you know that you are loved of God? And that have you experienced that love and have you tasted of that love and do you know that that love of God is within you? There's one thing to be able to recite something and say, well, yeah, I know that God loves me, but have you experienced the tangible love of God? I'm not saying that you walk around in a woo. I mean, I have experienced in being enveloped with God. I don't look for an experience, but thank God when they come. Thank God when they come. So we have this wonderful truth here. And it talks about we can have such a union with God that as Jesus had a union with God and that Jesus has given to us the same honor and the same respect and the same recognition that the Father gave him is upon our lives. Have you ever, let me just say it to you this way. There have been times that I minister to people and they look at you dumbfoundedly. What's going on here? What's happening here? Why am I spilling my guts to you? I don't even know you. You're a stranger. All of a sudden, people find themselves sharing things with you or you start sharing things with them that they had no... They don't even know that you know about. How do you know to say that right now? There's a glory of God on us by the Holy Spirit that allows us to speak things that we would not normally speak. There's a presence of God that is on us that is just manifest there. We have to begin recognizing the place and position that we occupy in the Lord Jesus Christ and quit looking at ourselves so much as a worm or a worthless human being at times. Yeah, do I do worthless stuff? Yes. But am I worthless? No. See the difference? I may do worthless things, but it doesn't mean I am worthless because Jesus Christ paid for me and he's now attributed worth to me and worth to you. Okay? Just because my jacket here gets dirty, do I throw it away or do I send it to the cleaners? It got dirt on it. Oh, that jacket, that's no, forget that thing. That's no good anymore. What would we do that if every time our clothes got dirty and that we couldn't be clean, we just throw every change of clothing away? Better have a lot of money to buy clothes. Huh? God doesn't throw us away. He's given us the ability to confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? I don't sit there and play with it. I don't sit there and mess with it. I sit there and deal with it. Hallelujah. Because that's not who I am in Jesus Christ. That's just something I have done or thought, and it needs to be dealt with right away, and I deal with it right away. It should be for every one of you also. Amen? But see, we're supposed to arise and shine in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We are living in a time, and I've heard it from 3, 4, if not 5 people at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, talking about the church of the world coming into more tough times, more difficulty coming. But that's not to be our focus. No matter how dark the world's getting, no matter what things happen in society, no matter the decisions our government make or don't make, no matter who votes for this or who votes for that. I talk to some Christians and they just are so upset by what's taking place in Washington that they're oblivious to the will of God. They know more about politics, they know more about the news than about the Father's business. Okay, it's okay to keep up with what's taking place, but just let it be a surface knowledge. I mean, it shouldn't be, let's see how they're reporting it. Let's see how they're reporting it. Let's see how they're reporting it. And a spirit of fear is going to come upon you. Worry, anxiety, stress. Any of you here have worry, anxiety, or stress? Think about the source then. Where's that coming from? What's going on in your life that's allowing all this excess worry, anxiety, and stress? Amen? But it talks about there is a darkness coming, a deep dark. For behold, darkness shall what? Cover the earth. Whoa, I don't know if I like that. I thought things are supposed to be getting better, not worse. And gross darkness, what? Or deep darkness? I believe King James Version uses the word gross darkness. Yeah, gross darkness. Not that the darkness is gross. It's dense, it's deep, it's thick. And gross or dense or deep darkness, the people. But see, the Lord doesn't stop there. He doesn't, you know, like, oh, okay, there's nothing we can do about it. I just, you know, hunker in till Jesus comes. What does he say here? But the Lord will arise over you. Now, wait a second. We just got through reading in John chapter 17. Jesus said he gave us his glory. Look what it says here. And the glory will be seen upon you. The glory will be seen upon you. The honor, the recognition, and the respect that God has for his redeemed children will be noticed on your life, and they'll notice it's not on their lives. Because what does it go on here to talk about? The next verse. And the Gentiles, non-believers, shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Come to your light. The Word of God says you're a light in the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, John chapter 8. John chapter 9, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, he says this, you are the light of the world. Transferred. Transference. Jesus wasn't going to always be here. So when Jesus left, is the light of Christ still here? He's the head, we're the body. The same, all the light and luminous and revelation, all that he is and represents, flows to the body, you. Wow. Let's start giving recognition or honor to whom honor is due. Let's start honoring the Lord within our lives. Amen? Amen. And it says the Gentiles, unbelievers, those people who don't know God, will come to what? To your light. It's not my light, really. It's the light that's in me. The light that I've been. I was once darkness. You were once darkness. When I received Jesus Christ, I became light in the Lord. Darkness has been what? Put this verse up. Acts 26. Let's start with verse. Well, that's maybe 15. I'm looking at it in my Bible. Like where is it located in my Bible? I just ordered a new Bible online. The Bible that I have, I've had that version probably for 30, if not 40 years. I just keep, they quit making it in 1990. And it's falling apart. I'm turning the page. And I put tape on it. Now it's ripping above and below the tape. And I put more tape on it. I was like, oh. And Christine goes, you're just going to have to get another kind of Bible. So I looked. I looked. And some of the new study Bibles, they have all this color. They got blue here and red here and yellow here. And most of you know I'm colorblind. And for some reason, all that color throws off me trying to read the plain text. And I'm just like, it's like, aah! It's like, ah! And so I'm looking at them online going, ah! Ah! I was like, God, I need one like mine. Can you please help me? Oh, they got them online. $150, $250, $349. Because people have them out there and they're selling. I was like, I know you provide all things, Lord God. $349, I'm not going there. Christine goes, you're not going to. She goes, you just got to learn to use another Bible. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, she just doesn't understand. I found one. $59-something, $62. It'd be here Monday. Giant print. It has to be just like the one I have up here. Giant print. And you know what? I said, they have this one. It's called the new Bible's coming out from Nelson Publishing. It says, what is that term that they use? Easy reading? Well, I put it up on. It's not easy reading for me. It's 10 point. The font is 10. Easy reading Bible. I was like, no. And Christine goes, just get stronger readers. I go, no, I'm not going to get stronger readers. Oh, I said, the Lord can supply the one that I'm used to. I found it. It says, it says, excellent condition, never used. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Okay, next verse after that one. I want to get down to where for this purpose. Okay. Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul giving his testimony. What happened to him in Acts chapter 9, he's recounting his testimony, the persecution he did against the church, hauling men and women off to prison, making havoc of the church. You know, when you look at some of these words in the verses before this, making havoc of the church, actually torturing people, consenting to their deaths, plural, not just Stephen's death, deaths, plural. Causing church believers to blaspheme or speak against Jesus. I mean, so this was the Apostle Paul. I mean, no, before Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus. And there was a great persecution that he did against the church. It says he kicked in people's doors, drug them off as prisoners, and made them blaspheme the name of Jesus. In other words, you're going to recount. You're going to come back to Judaism. What you have there is wrong, and this is why it's wrong. Now say it. And it would even torture them to say it. Those that would give in to the torture. Wow. You know what's so cool about that? Look, over 50% of the New Testament was written by this redeemed terrorist to Christianity. Amen. Now, if God can reach that guy, what he did to the church, I mean, my goodness, what can he do with us? Isn't that wonderful? And so he's recounting his testimony, and then he's at the place now after he's fallen to the ground. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Oh, my gosh, can you just imagine that, hearing those words? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then here, Jesus picks it up. But rise, stand upon your feet, for I've appeared unto you for this purpose. You know, there's a lot of people in Christianity, they don't have any purpose. They don't have any direction. I've heard so many people that they want to be used of the Lord. I wish I could just prophesy. I wish I could be used of the Lord in this gift or that gift, or I want the gift of miracles. Unless you begin with primary purpose, the other ones aren't going to happen. A lot of people want, I want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and they won't even open up their mouth and talk to a person who doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19, it talks about the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's where we begin operating prophetically. If you want to learn about prophetic ministry, There's levels of prophetic ministry. And Revelation chapter 19 talk about the bride and the bride getting herself ready. And it goes on, it talks about the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. I learned to prophesy without ever thinking that I was learning to prophesy. When I began sharing Jesus Christ with people, things started coming out of my mouth. As I said earlier, how did you know that? Who told you that about me? That's the gift of prophecy working. We have to remember, first things first. If you want to be used of God more by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be used of God to people that don't know Jesus first. I mean, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe, verse 5, he told him to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill his ministry. It didn't say he was an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Do your primary purpose is to let your light shine and share about Jesus with other people. And there's a lot of, well, I'm not called to do that, brother. I'm just a shy person, and I don't know how to talk to anybody about Jesus. Sometimes shyness is a form of pride. Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed out of the, or delivered out of the hand of the enemy. You have the ability to share your testimony with somebody. And from there, you'll begin to develop. You'll begin to be used of God. I remember the first time I'd never shared Jesus with anybody. And one of the pastors here, he's no longer a pastor here, he gave me a book by T.L. Osborne. It was called Soul Winning Out Where the Sinners Are. I was like, is this guy trying to tell me something? And so I read it. I was so convicted after reading that book. Okay, I'm going to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to go do it. You've heard me say this before. I went downtown, Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, and I tried talking to somebody. Told me to get out of their face. And then there's this lady that's sitting on a bench waiting for the bus to come. And I start circling her. Oh, Lord, please help me. How do I start talking to this lady? Well, the lady must have thought I was nuts. Because I'm just like, oh, Lord, just give me the right words to say to her. And she had a cane, and she started really gripping that cane. I mean, she was really gripping that cane. I was finally, ma'am, can I talk to you? What do you want? And I was like, I just want to tell you about Jesus. I know Jesus. Get out of here. I was like, oh, two strikes. I'm like, what am I going to do next? Well, down the street a little bit further, years ago, downtown St. Petersburg, they used to have a barber shop there and a place where you could get your shoes shined. And there was a bunch of guys who had already started out their day the wrong way, and they were just laying there on the sidewalk there. And I was like, captive audience. I was like, hey, everybody. Hey, how you doing? Ah, pretty good. You want to know about Jesus? Preach it, brother. I just got to preach my heart out. Any of you want to pray with me? No. I got to preach my heart out, though. But it allowed me to break the ice and overcome a fear. Okay? And just begin thereafter to begin talking with people. Asking them permission if I could speak to them. Amen? There's all different ways to open up conversations with people. But he goes here and he says, for this purpose, to make you a minister. Do we need to get out there a license plate out of all the yellow places out there we drive our cars to? Let's see, Minister Bill and Darlene. Minister Karen Spiros, do we need to have something out there that recognizes us as a minister? Minister really means servant. We're to be serving Jesus to others. So, you know, relaying the truth that we have to them. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will appear or which I will show you. And he's just like Paul. There's things that you have experienced, that you have tasted, and you know now who I am. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 9, it says, after those 3 days of prayer and fasting, and that disciple came and laid his hands on him, he said immediately he went out and preached Christ. Just with what he knew. He just went out and went out with what he knew at that moment, right afterwards. Sometimes I think that we try to get so much, and you've heard me say this, I don't mean any disrespect, but we become spiritually constipated. You know, that we get so much truth that we actually have overwhelmed ourselves with it, and we don't even know we've got so much, I don't even know where to begin. And we have to be careful of that. The most people during evangelism course that I taught here, Bill Fair, sharing Jesus effectively, and he says when he goes into a church, he usually the question that is usually asked him the most out of every other question is about a person's lack of confidence in sharing Jesus. Well, I just don't feel I know enough. This is it. The person gets up and says, I just don't know enough to talk about Jesus. And he just simply says, how long have you been a Christian? Most everybody responds 10 years or longer. 10 years or longer. In other words, and he said in that 10 years, most of us here in the United States will have a 4 to 6 year Bible teaching amount of word as compared to like a third world country. That we have more than what we need to share with anybody at any time. But we've allowed all that to come in to actually, it produces a fear because, well, what if they ask me this? Or what if I don't know the right question? Oh, that was it. What if I don't know how to respond? And that's when he says, how long have you been a Christian? If they ask me a question I don't know, you can always be asked things you don't know. I'm asked it all the time. I don't know. Let's go on to the next thing. I don't let it bother me. I'm not going to let it keep me from sharing Jesus. And it says, a witness, a minister and a witness. The word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations as a witness. You have to expect God to show up. You have to expect that the Holy Spirit's there. It's my responsibility to share with other people about Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to show up and convict and begin moving on the heart. You can't get anybody saved. Trust the Holy Spirit's there. Trust God to do what God said he would do. Okay, so just yield yourself to him and let him be God. Amen? And he goes back here to say, okay, the next verse. Okay, telling him that he'll be delivered from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Did not Paul experience all these perilous things within his life? Imprisonments, beatings, shipwrecks, all these different things. People wanting to throw him out of town, stoned him so much, they brought him out of town, they stoned him, they left him there for dead. He basically gets back up and goes back into town. Can you imagine that? They left him for dead and he walks back in. I'm still here. I don't know if he did that, but... Next verse. Okay, here. This is just not his purpose, but this is our purpose. This is also our primary purpose. Okay? God uses us. He has saved us, and we know the truth that's in Jesus Christ, and he uses us to open up their eyes to both what? Gentiles and Jews, or Jews and Gentiles. To open up their eyes and to turn them from what? We're reading in Isaiah chapter 60, and it says, darkness, no, gross darkness, deep darkness. So it's going to cover everyone. It's getting worse. Man, that means the light's going to shine brighter. Amen. That's what you have to realize. It doesn't matter how bad things get on this planet. You are light in the Lord. And it says that we turn them from what? Darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. So you can darkness, Satan. Satan, darkness. They go together, don't they? Okay. Unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So you can look at darkness, Satan, and sins. Darkness, Satan, and sins. To what? What do they go to? To light, which is the light of the gospel, the light of God's truth. To the power of God instead of the power of Satan's. And from forgiveness of sins to what? The inheritance that Jesus Christ has secured for all of us. And how many people are still focusing on darkness, what the devil's doing, and the sins they're still trying to overcome? When we're to be focusing on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're to be focusing on that we are light in the Lord and he's given us truth and our lives are being transformed. That I have received forgiveness of sin. I have been released. I have been pardoned. I have experienced liberty. I have experienced victory from that. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, reckon. Romans chapter 6. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin. And that's not the old term, well, I reckon so. That's not what that word reckon means. Reckon means to think, consider, say, and declare that I am dead to sins and alive unto God through Jesus Christ, who is my Lord. That is what your testimony is supposed to be. You're never going to go past what you believe. Well, I just always seem to give in to this. I can't ever seem to get past this. God has a truth that he wants to reveal to you to expose that darkness. This is the truth to release you from the grip of Satan, to show you God's power so that that sin is completely broken and released of your life and you can walk in the inheritance that Jesus Christ has secured for you. This is our primary purpose. This is what God has called us to. For you to experience first and then for you to share it with somebody else. And that's why Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to get solidified in some of these truths. Dan Dees came up to me. Was it a Holy Ghost prayer line? That you came up to me, or it was last Sunday, talking about how Dan wants to start up the evangelism class again. Wednesday. And those of you that want to learn about evangelism, we're going to pass around a clipboard, not today, but we're going to pass a clipboard around finding out those who want to go back through the evangelism course, 20 weeks. And if you want to go through that again, it will be on a Monday night, and find out what the Word of God has to say and learn how to share your faith. Learn how to overcome your worries, your anxieties, your questions, the things that keep you from doing it. After 20 weeks, you'll be well equipped to do whatever God wants you to do on sharing Jesus. That's the very first thing. Amen? And so it's going to be real important for any of you that, well, I don't know how to do that, or I'm not sure about that. Well, get rid of your I don't knows and unsures. And when we send that clipboard around, sign up for it. Let Dan know that there's an interest here. And then a date will be assigned when he'll start those 20 weeks of evangelism courses. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. That's one of them that we'll be doing. That Dan will be doing. I keep saying we, but I'm not doing it. He's doing it. Okay. Are you getting a little gist of what I'm trying to say here? That God wants to take us a lot further than where if we've set. No. We have settled at times, and God wants to cause us to arise and move on. There's something that he's doing. There's something that he's gripping our attention about. And I really believe that there is going to be there is already taking place on this planet a move of everyday believers everywhere that God is using. And we want to be where God wants us to be. Christian Service Center needs to be where God wants us to be. Amen? As you know, last year our senior pastor passed away, Pastor Bill Owens. People came up to me and said, Mark, the mantle's been passed to you. I didn't receive or feel like any mantle's been passed to me. It wasn't until I lost my son that I guess I began doing some real business with God. And it was not that God took my son, God received my son. The choices of this world and the choices of darkness and his own personal choices brought him to a place where he departed this earth. But God has used those things to get me spiritually positioned to hear him more. As I shared with one person going through the prayer line, there was a very dark time that I had that I said, Lord, if I could vacate right now, let's do it. Because, you know, grief can bring you to a place where you actually, you sense that you lose hope, and the pain is so deep that you just like, I'm done. I've seen enough death. I've done enough funerals. I've done enough memorials. I've seen too many divorces, people I've married and people that have gotten divorced. I've seen too much hurt. And if it's possible, Lord, let's go. Which is the easy way out, of course. But you're hurting. And the pain is real and the pain is gripping. And God knows that we have pain that we deal with, and he knows what grips our heart, and he knows what crushes us. But I have found out that in this crushing, in this blow, in this completely dismantling of myself, I have found a new beginning with God. I have found a life that God has been speaking to me. It's been beautiful. It's been horrible yet beautiful. That's why you heard me say after my son passed, I called it horrific grace. Horrific what happened. Oh, but grace. God's ability, God's favor, God's presence. holding me and carrying me and say, no, you're not done. This is what we got still things to do, and I need you to do it. And there's something that has just transpired recently, which I just got a revelation on in 1 Kings. Remember when Elijah's coming to the end of his ministry, and the Spirit of the Lord or God tells him, go anoint this king and tell this guy he's going to be king. But he also goes up to a guy who's out there in the field with his 12 yoke of oxen. And this guy's name was Elisha. And he's out there working the field. He's out there doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he said he let his mantle come over him. As you know, that back then, a lot of times that they had these big cloaks that they wore, you know, and they would be for a covering or when it rained or at night to keep them warm. And they would just have these mantles that they would carry with them. See, like what Sharon's doing there with her big jacket, she must be cold. And they had these things, but it also represented that they were distinct in color and distinct in design. And they were distinctly that person, whether it was the mark of their tribe, the mark of their family, that you knew when you saw, if you just saw from behind that mantle, you usually knew the person who was wearing it and what that person represented, okay? And so, come here for a minute, Bill. Just stand there looking at everybody, and like you have a team of oxen. Look, turn around. I want everybody to see this. Okay, you got a team of oxen, and you're there plowing the field, and you're trying to keep these, you know, like, oh my gosh, oh, I got this furrow straight here, you know, dirt's flying up, and here's this prophet walk by, and goes like this. Basically, that's what he did. When he put his mantle, when he went by, he just let it, like, go like this, indicating my mantle will be your mantle. He wanted him to follow him. And he says, well, you know, I got to let my family know. So he did. But he killed that 12 yoke of oxen, and he had a feast, and then afterwards it followed him. What am I trying to say? There were things that when I first became a pastor here 25 years ago, matter of fact, I've been doing them since 1981. Most of you know that I do all the maintenance here. I had a time when Randy helped me for about 7 years. But when I first saw Pastor Bill in 1981, he was getting ready to preach, and something got flushed down the toilet, and I saw him go into the bathroom, roll up his sleeves, and stick his hand down there and pull out the mess, and the Lord spoke to my heart, don't ever let that man do that again. You'll begin to serve him in that capacity. And when I became a pastor here in 1993, he said, Mark, you're going to be a working pastor. He goes, you'll be doing some teaching and you'll be doing some ministry, but he goes, you're going to also take care of the facilities here. Because most of you know that I'm pretty good with my hands, the things that I've learned over the years. But that has to be set aside. That yoke is being burned right now. That is being put away right now. Because there is something else that the Lord says I'm to be wrapping myself in. There is a direction that this ministry needs to go, and if I just give myself to those things, then this ministry isn't going to be moving in the direction that God wants it to go in. And like I said last week, I need everyone's help in these things. And so the Lord is showing me, at times it's difficult, because when you've done something for so many years, and you see this, and you see that, and you just kind of like, okay, let me go grab my tools. Oh, it'll only take an hour, and then it's like 3 or 4 hours later. But the Lord is saying, Mark, there are things that have to be done in my kingdom for this purpose. I've called you to be both a minister and a witness. That was okay. That was okay for a time, and that time is now ended. You've got to take your place as Pastor Bill, was senior pastor of this church and teaching pastor of this church. And there's been so many things that were committed to him that need to be taught to the people here and to other people in other places, that you have to take up that mantle now. You've got to set down the toolbox and take more hold. Not that I have not taken hold to his word, but more hold to his word. Amen? And so that's what he has been speaking to my heart about, and he solidified it more this morning. And the other picture I got this morning, that was one of the pictures that the Lord gave me, and the other one was from Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones. Now we know if you've done any research in that, the Valley of Dry Bones, it is speaking to the whole house of Israel. When you get down to the vision, it speaks concerning the whole house of Israel. And a lot of times people just think, okay, we know what the Word of God says, what happened when Jesus came and they rejected Jesus. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus says that that the Jewish people would be scattered to all nations. Okay? That they would be scattered to all nations. But we also know that the Word of God talks about a regathering. And those of you that heard my teaching on prophecy and Israel, I went through all the different things what the Word of God had to say about how God scattered them and now has regathered them, because the time of the Gentiles is now coming to an end. We are coming to an end of the gospel going to all the world. And now God has a real intense thing, like he did in the beginning, witnessing to Jews and to Gentiles. Remember, the body of Christ isn't just Gentiles. It's the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The covenant that we enjoy, the new covenant, was first a covenant to Israel. God made good on his word and gave them a new covenant which allows Gentiles to come in. Okay? It's not replacement theology. God has not replaced Israel. He's brought in a new covenant, which is not after the Levitical. It's after Judah, and it's a royal priesthood, which brings in kingly authority with priestly work. And it's the merging together of the two, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So I say this, it's not replacive theology, it's inclusive theology. It's not replacement. We don't replace Israel. We're allowed to become Israel. Big difference. And there's a lot of teaching going on out there about replacement theology. God has rejected Israel and now the Gentiles have it. No, it has always been to the Jew first and to the Gentile. But we're coming to the end of the gospel dispensation to the Gentiles. Things are wrapping up. There's more and more Jewish people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And we have to realize this. So this Valley of Dry Bones is just not speaking about Israel coming back to the land and accepting Jesus, which that is part of the truth. But it says in Ezekiel chapter 37, he's speaking concerning the whole house of Israel, Jew and Gentile. Those that have come. Because there are some of you, as the Lord showed me a picture today, and some of us, how many Christians you know that are dry? How many Christians you know that are disjointed? How many of them don't know their place? They don't even know what to do. Where do I fit? How many of you said, where do I fit? I don't know. I don't know where I fit. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How many of you who once knew that the Lord was good and you tasted of the Lord's goodness and you're brittle? How many Christians have fallen away and they're just not, they're not serving the Lord anymore? And Ezekiel goes in and he sees this huge mess. And I tell you what, sometimes we get in a mess. I know believers that are in a mess. Hey, can these bones live? He wasn't going to answer that. You know. He put it right back on God's shoulders. You know. Good place to put it, isn't it? Huh? If you don't know, you know. And what did he tell him to do? Prophesy to these dry bones. See, God wants to use your life to win the lost and help disjointed Christians, dry Christians, people that are just not getting it, or people who got it and lost it, and they're just whatever. You ever hear that? I hate that. Whatever. I'm just like, that's what you want to do, but you don't. Now you got these whatever Christians. I'm going through a tough place. And I said, well, what's happening there? I don't know. I said, what's going on? I said, is the Lord speaking to you? You know, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says this, and this is one of the promises that he has for your life. Whatever. It's like, I know what that says. I don't want to hear it, especially from you. But see, God still loves those dry ones. He loves those dry ones. So whether it be the regathering of Israel back to their homeland for them to come to know Jesus Christ, or whether it be dry Christians that God wants to speak to get them in their place again. He has a word for every one of us. I'm speaking to every, it just can't be me. It's all of you getting the word of God within you, because God's going to give you dry ones. And they don't know their purpose. They don't know their place. And they've been offended. They've been hurt. Christianity, the last thing that they want. There's so many ostracized Christians out there that don't even go to church. And these little fellowships that they find, they're just disgruntled Christians talking about disgruntled Christianity. They're all dry and brittle. But he's wanting to put you across their path, to speak into their lives, to get them realigned where they need to be realigned, to get them positioned where they need to be positioned, to come together where they need to be coming together. And then for that meat to be put back on there, for that connection to begin happening, the meat to come on the bones and the sinews to begin coming in there, it's one thing to be assembled, but it's another thing to begin hearing the truth and having that change of the Word of God coming within their lives. But then after that comes together, the muscles come on there, and one joint becoming one joint. I think I know where God's calling me. I'm getting the Word of God. And he says, skin is to come over it. And we need, how many of you know that we need to be skinned? We need to be put back in place. We need to have the Word of God taught to us. And we also know, I am covered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to know where my place is. It's good to know what the Word of truth says. It's good to know our covering in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is my Lord and I'm in His body. But He wants to breathe. He wants to breathe on us. Because what good is knowing where you stand? What good is knowing your place? What good is knowing the truth of God's word? What good is it knowing that Jesus is the head and you're the body without the breath of the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit's breath. Because then it talks about it forms an army. And I really believe that this last day army of believers, it's the priesthood of the believers, the priesthood of the saints, that's going to make the final impact on this world. So when it says the whole house of Israel, it's talking about the natural Israel and the spiritual Israel that God wants to begin using all of us as His voice of wherever that person's at, to bring them in the place that they need to be, so they brought to a place of hearing God themselves, being taught God themselves, being led by the Holy Spirit themselves to that place that, yes, Lord, the Spirit of truth is upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation is upon me also, Lord God. I'm knowing that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Holy Spirit, His person, His presence, and His power abides within me and is leading me and guiding me into all truth. There's a revelation that He wants each of you to possess and each of you to share. You see, this is what He's wanting to do, but there's going to be a bulk of teaching that needs to take place for you to get grounded in. And I have an understanding that I know that there's some here today that you're dry in certain areas. Not all the way dry, but you're dry in certain areas. And God has a word that He wants spoken. He wants a refreshing. He wants life to come back into that dryness. He's wanting you to be gathered in the place, because some of you are frustrated. I want to be used of God. I don't know if I'm being used of God. He wants all that gone. And so I want to do a teaching on the saints, the purpose of the saints, what it looks like. And I'm going to want to just take some time looking at this. Okay? It may take a whole year. That's okay. See, this is another thing that the Lord told me. I'm going to end with this. Lord, show me how to say this. Okay. How do I know that God has wanted me to do this? How many of you think that when you get to a certain age, you're done? I believe as long as we have breath, we can be used of God. How about that? I believe as long as we have breath, we can be used of God. As long as you have breath, you can be used of God. Amen. Quit looking at your failures and start looking at what Jesus did. Amen? Let me see if I can find this here. It's Moses. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court, was he not? And how many years did he spend there as a ruler in Egypt? Anybody remember? Well, it tells us here, Stephen gives us, if you ever want to know a concise history of the Jewish people, read Acts chapter 7. I mean, it's a beautiful, concise history of the Jewish people all the way to Jesus. And so this is Stephen's dissertation here about what was happening And I like this part here, what he says about Moses. How Moses was at 40 years old, and remember he saw this Egyptian hurt a Jewish man, and he killed him. Remember that? And then the next day, okay, I'll pick it up in verse 27. Moses sees two people having an argument. In verse 27 of Acts chapter 7, it says, "But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at that saying, Moses took off." He fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian. And he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed. So here he is up to 40 years as a prince in Egypt. And then 40 years in the wilderness. So how old is he now when the angel of the Lord appears to him? 80. Now, how many Moses movies or Ten Commandments movies have you seen where Moses is actually 80 years old? That for some reason, they forget that part, okay? Now, the reason why I'm saying that is I got saved in 1977. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1981. And if you fast forward to where we're at right now, I'm in the 40th decade of knowing Jesus. And at times we sit there, well, I'm 60 years old and I'm just getting older. And after some of the things that happened last year, I thought I was done. And it was basically what the Lord was speaking to my heart. The senior pastor has come home to me. You have been under his tutelage now since 1981 up to this present time. There are things that I've been cultivating and forming within you that I'm going to start bringing them to a fruition. And it's like the Lord has been speaking to my heart, like I said with Elijah and Elisha, it's time for me to lay aside certain things and start hearing the word of the Lord and following what he wants done during this next, however long this phase is, till I go home to be with Jesus. And to continue onward until I go home to be with Jesus. And so some of you may look at yourself, well, I walked with the Lord or I'm this age. Forget all that. Paul talked to the young guy, says, don't let people get on you about how young you are. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old you are, God can use you. Amen? And I really believe that the Lord is just saying, Mark, it's been these 40 years since you first came to know me and been involved with this ministry here. Now there are some things that I have worked in you that I want to now bring forth from you. And so I really believe that we're looking into the wonderful things that God still has here for us at CSC and beyond. And so just let's all just know that there, God is speaking, but what he's speaking also is that the focus is, as it's always been here, everybody's a minister. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a part. Everybody can be used of God. As one man put it, the ministry that he uses this term, everybody gets to play. I read that, I was like, oh, I like that. In other words, we just don't have to sit there on the grandstands and think that's it. God is all calling us into the field of ministry. And we all can be used of him. Amen? So this is just something I just wanted to share with you today. And we're going to look at more at this subject of the time of the saints, the time of the saints, the body of Christ activated in these days, and looking into more of you being equipped with what God wants you equipped with and released in what God has called you to do. Amen? So, Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for something so simple that you've been speaking to my heart. You blow me away with your loving kindness. I'm just so amazed, Lord God, at your long-suffering, your patience. But also, Lord God, not to be negligent what you're speaking, Lord. Not to take things lightly ever, Lord. But what you have also spoken to me is that there's enough in this house. There's enough here to do whatever you want to do, Lord God. That everyone that you have called here to this place right now is enough to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished, and you'll add from there, Lord. So we look, Lord God, to those you've blessed us with. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters, Lord God, here today, that we're all part of the body of Christ with so many others all over this planet, Lord God. But there's a specific call and a specific purpose, Lord God, that you've raised CSC up. And you've raised us up, Lord God, to make disciples. To make a disciples, we've got to go get them, Lord God. And that you want them taught and trained and equipped. And so we just thank you, Father, that every one of us that want to go all the way with you, that are hungering for more of you, Lord God, just as an act of dedication, that we yield ourselves to you this morning. I yield myself to you this morning, Lord, as accepting what you have spoken to me about, Lord God, and the direction you want to go, and you are speaking to me, Lord God, and saying, this next. And I just want to get in there with gangbusters and do too much, Lord God, and you are actually, I believe that I'm wearing the harness of the Lord, that you have harnessed me, and you're leading and guiding me by the Holy Spirit. And you're helping my brothers and sisters also what you have called them to, Lord. We know what's going to happen in the world. It's going to get darker and darker. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But you have told us, Lord God, in your word, and you're speaking here to us today, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has been risen upon us. And we accept, Lord God, we accept the truth of your word, that we're here for a purpose to accomplish for your glory, Lord. Oh, Father, that all the things that we accomplish here on this planet, we just can't wait forward to that day, Lord God, when we all lay them down at your feet and say any accomplishment that we have, Lord God, is because what you did on the cross, and you gave us the ability to do it, Lord God. And so we just lay them back to you and say, thank you, Jesus. And so here we are, Lord God. This ministry is dedicated to you. We're dedicated to you, Lord God. Now let's go. In Jesus' name, amen.